Defense Department civilians working in Japan say they're in the midst of a full-blown healthcare crisis. Employees say sudden changes in appointment availability at military treatment facilities have meant that, for all intents and purposes, they've lost access to medical care. They can still go to military emergency rooms, but that's about it. Federal News Network's Jared Serbu has details on what's changed and how it's impacting the thousands of DOD employees in Japan.
Susan, a primary care psychologist at Marine Corps Air Station Iwakuni, moved to Japan 4 years ago because she and her husband wanted to see the world. They also thought a safe country with world-class infrastructure seemed like an ideal place to raise their first child. Now, though, getting out of the country is a matter of urgency for her family because of what she and other countless other American civilian employees in Japan say has been a dire and sudden change in their ability to access even the most basic healthcare services. Susan isn't actually her real name. She agreed to talk with us only under a pseudonym because she's afraid that doing so publicly will jeopardize her chances of finding a new job where she can get proper medical care for that child who eventually came. She's now 10 months old.
My husband and I decided to go through IVF and bring a child into the world here because we thought that we could take care of her and meet her needs. And that included being able to give her basic access to health care. Now I'm kind of felt living with this, almost this guilt. I feel guilt that we're raising her in a situation where she's not getting all the medical coverage she needs.
There are about 6,000 DOD civilians in Japan, and they've seen drastic changes in healthcare access over the past several months. They're dramatic, but they vary somewhat from installation to installation, and the underlying causes are also multifaceted. Because of that, they're also difficult to completely resolve overnight. Defense health officials are quick to point out that there's been no official change in policy. On paper, DOD civilians have always been treated on a space available or space A basis at military treatment facilities, and active duty service members and their families have had the first priority. What seems to have changed the most is the department's definition of what space available actually means. Silene Mullen, the acting assistant secretary of defense for health affairs, says the changes civilians are now seeing started several months ago when the Defense Health Agency determined the facilities weren't offering enough appointment availability for those active duty patients. By law, those patients are the first priority.
We've been under, you know, a lot of pressure and scrutiny to make sure that those access standards are met. And what was happening across the Defense Health Agency was that they were looking, and over here, the standards started slipping. The active duty members and their active duty family members couldn't get in the MTFs for their care. So what happened was, in all good intentions, was to say, okay, we need to reiterate a policy that's been around since 2011, which meant that unintentionally squeezed out space A spots. So what happened, as we saw more active duty and active duty family members, fewer space A came out there. One, we could have probably communicated that better, but that really didn't happen, or perhaps talk more to the people on the ground.
DOD civilians living in Japan say access to health care there has always been a bit challenging, but the most recent changes have been dramatic. They happen gradually and then all at once. First, in September, some employees started hearing from their regular providers at local MTFs that they'd no longer be able to see them. Then, just before Christmas, DHA issued an updated instruction that explicitly told local MTF commanders that they should only treat Space A patients for acute, non-recurring health needs. That meant civilians could no longer make medical appointments at MTFs until the very day of their visits. If they wanted to be seen, they'd need to check their local clinic's Facebook page at about 10 o'clock every day to see if the MTF had any Space A appointments for the category of care they needed. Nicole Casimir, a DOD civilian who works at Yokota Air Base, says many civilians felt as though the rug had been pulled out from under them. Her family's challenges started in August, when the base's leadership started restricting pediatric care for civilian patients. That left her son without a reliable source for the ADHD medication and EpiPens he needs for his medical conditions.
I mean, it adds extra stress to a lot of us. I haven't done much research on how I can continue my health care because I'm spending so much time trying to get the services that I need for my son, his ongoing services. He's on emergency rescue medication. He's on medication for his neurodivergency. So I can't focus on myself. My husband has high blood pressure. So every day I'm worried about if something should happen, he's not going to be able to get the emergency care that he needs. So this is just everyday stress that's on the back of your mind while you're trying to work, while you're trying to produce for your agency. for the warfighter.
Casimir and other DoD employees say the situation has already had palpable effects on military commands and defense agencies' ability to attract and retain employees in Japan.
We have people who want to have the opportunity. I mean, to work overseas is just such a great experience, not only for being able to see how your agency directly impacts the greater world, but also for our children as well. It just expands them culturally. But we've had people who either A, will not apply for the positions because they know that there is a healthcare concern out here, or they apply, delve deeper into the healthcare situation, and then they end up retracting their acceptance. And then we have to start all over. We've had other people who just no longer can deal with the stress and the uncertainty, and they leave early. So then we have to scramble to backfill their positions.
But just leaving Japan isn't a viable option for some DoD employees. Although some of them have the ability to ask for a transfer to another geographic location within their same agency, others can't do that. One major example is the roughly 2,400 school teachers and other employees who work for the DoD education activity. DoDEA simply doesn't offer the ability to transfer to another country.
In a situation like this, for people like myself who came with a chronic condition, I asked all those questions. My administrator said, yeah, we're good. I get it. It's changed. But the choice that I'm faced with is if I cannot get to an installation or somewhere where I can get the services, I have to quit my job.
That's a teacher who spoke during a town hall last week at the Army's Camp Zama.
From the standpoint of taking care of everybody's kids, this like the other, right? I now have to watch out for mine. I feel that I've provided good service to this community as a teacher, right? And football coach, do what I job, this like the other, that kind of thing. And it gets tough because I get it from a resources standpoint, but teachers are left with little to no options. Our options are to fight it out and maybe find something or quit.
Most of the reasons DoD civilians have so few options outside of the MTFs have to do with nuances involving the Japanese healthcare system. Japan has a serious provider shortage of its own, and DoD civilians have seen varying degrees of difficulty getting appointments at private hospitals and clinics. Some of them accept American insurance, and some don't, but in many cases, they require foreigners to submit upfront payment if they'll see them at all. According to Japan Medical Advocacy, a group of DoD civilians who organized last fall to look for fixes to the problem, Japanese facilities often require payment of up to 200% of their standard fees before they're willing to treat foreigners. And unlike in the American system, there's no legal requirement that hospitals or clinics treat patients, even in emergency situations. Cultural differences between the Japanese medical system and the American one also mean that DoD civilians can be denied care at local facilities for reasons they'd never imagined. For instance, one of the most popular childbirth clinics for American women in Okinawa simply will not see patients who've been diagnosed with ADHD. That's according to Kelly Pretorius, a pediatric nurse practitioner who's been trying to help women and families in the area find care.
The perspective on mental health is so drastically different than what we do in America, right? The approach to pain management is totally different. Right. So like you can't even get an epidural in Okinawa. They don't do that. I don't know one woman recently who's been able to get an epidural in Okinawa. Forcing women to have an unmedicated delivery when that's not their choice is mind blowing to me. Episiotomies are more common. Depending on the facility, partners are restricted access while the woman is in labor. I have a woman who's going to have a C-section soon, and her husband's not even allowed to be in the hospital.
Pretorius is married to a DoD civilian employee, and she saw the problems firsthand when she had her own baby at an off-base facility in 2020. After several days of labor, she had post-delivery complications that weren't fully diagnosed until she saw a doctor in the U.S. who determined that she now needs major reconstructive surgery. Despite two master's degrees and a PhD, Pretorius has also been unable to find a job at the Navy-operated MTF in Okinawa because the hospital has no billets open. The MTF did let her work on a volunteer basis via the Red Cross, something she welcomed because the unpaid work at least gave her enough clinical hours to maintain her license in Texas.
And then I was going on weekends to do newborn checks for the families because I just love seeing babies and providing that guidance to new moms. And people have such little support out here that I was happy to offload that patient load to the other practitioners that were working. But once this crisis started occurring, I've stopped volunteering because now all of my energy has been spent.
During last week's meetings, defense officials emphasized they were primarily there to listen to DoD employees' concerns and learn about the problems before they develop solutions via a working group. Gil Cisneros, the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, told participants he was surprised to learn that Japanese facilities can turn patients away for any reason.
The Japanese medical system is not our system that we're used to. And that is the big picture right there, right? The whole idea of individuals being turned away when there's an emergency, it's a foreign concept, right? It's just not something that we are used to. We're continuing to learn. We're continuing to grasp the picture here and what everybody's dealing with. I think, I definitely have a better understanding of how it's affecting everybody a lot clearer than I did 2 days ago before I got here.
And aside from DHA's lack of communication with DoD civilians about the sudden changes in its interpretation of space available, Cisneros says it also appears that DoD components haven't adequately informed job candidates about the military's Space A policy and what it would mean if it were fully enforced. In interviews with Federal News Network and in those town hall testimonials, numerous employees said they'd been told that they would receive all of their health care via MTFs when they first agreed to take positions in Japan.
I have had my prescriptions written for me by the base hospitals for the last 13 years for my chronic condition. My prescription, I have one more refill. What am I supposed to do? I'm currently making poor health choices and poor medication choices to try to extend the time so that I can figure out what I'm supposed to do, because I'm almost 100% certain there is no way I'm going to be able to get my medications refilled. My question to you is, what am I supposed to do? I don't know.
Japan Medical Advocacy has suggested several specific actions the department could take to resolve the crisis. Some of them are difficult and long-term, like sizing the mission of each MTF to account for the needs of the DoD civilian population. Others could be done more quickly, like letting civilians get prescriptions written by stateside providers but filled at MTF pharmacies. Heck says that's one of the short-term options DHA is exploring.
We are working on a solution to the prescribing issue so that prescriptions can be sent from a U.S.-based provider to the MTF here to get filled, with exception for narcotic control two substance type drugs. But we are currently working that issue right now. And as far as telehealth is concerned, we are looking at ways that we may be able to offer telehealth from the states to a location that's somewhere on a U.S. installation, right? So you wouldn't be able to do the telehealth appointment from your home if you live off base. But once you're on an installation, we may be able to get around that licensing issue, and we're exploring that as well.
But employees in Japan say the right time to ask those questions and explore those issues was many months ago, before the restrictions on MTF care were ever implemented. Now that it's a full-blown crisis, they say the department needs to act accordingly. Again, Kelly Pretorius.
I am genuinely concerned that more people are going to die unless this policy is revoked immediately. Why aren't you rescinding this policy until there's a solution that your working groups have achieved? Now that you understand our situation, would you move your family here? And can you convince civilians to stay? And finally, why is a stay-at-home mom coordinating the efforts of American citizens desperately seeking medical care because government agencies have stripped us of our access?
Jared Soder, Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.